What I'd like to do, I did this several weeks ago where I reviewed some messages that were shared, and I feel that, again, that the Lord is pointing out something, at least to me, which I want to share with you, which has to do with spiritual warfare. And it was interesting, some of the songs that we sang today. And so anyway, Father, I just ask that you would just remind us of the things that you have been speaking, and that we would understand more fully what the season is that we are currently in, and also what is our part in that season, Lord. And I just ask that these words would be an encouragement and a strength to all of us here this day. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Well, first of all, I don't know to what degree we shared this, but on September 29th and 30th, we had a Northeast leadership gathering here. So what is a Northeast leadership gathering? Well, years ago, we used to have a what they call a conclave in St. Louis. And that was like a central location for the United States for all the churches that are trying to build in the same manner in which we are building here. And over the years, we've connected, made relationships, and I guess there was a point where there's maybe 50 or 60 fellowships that we have been related to. And so we used to go out there and we used to just fellowship together and then begin to just teach and dialogue and talk about the New Testament church. Since that closed down, we began to have regional conferences. And so anyway, that's what we did. We had we started doing that several years ago, as you know. And we had the results of the first one had to do with a prophetic conference. We felt the Lord wanted us to really see the prophetic gift and ministry released in the churches. And that was a really powerful time, if you remember that. The last conference that we had focused on the foundation, meaning Jesus Christ, and laying the right foundation to the prophets and the apostles and prophets. So we met this time on the 29th and 30th of September, and by the end of Friday night, there was a sense of what the Lord was saying. And so the following morning on Saturday, we discussed what the Lord was speaking to us just through scriptures that were being read. And we felt that the Lord was speaking to us about spiritual warfare. And I want to give you one of the scriptures, because I feel that the Lord has been showing me there's been a theme since that time. There's been a theme of what the Lord has been speaking to us here, which I think would be good just for us to bring all that together. So if you guys want to just turn to Ephesians chapter 3. I'll get there eventually. Hold on a second. Okay, Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. I'm just going to read this and just give you a quick explanation of what, how that went from that point. It says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. And this is the specific thing, to be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things. Now, the word administration has to do with the workings of a household. And my understanding is that it's the workings of God's household, the administration of God's household. And it said it was hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God may now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in heavenly places. That was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confidence to access through faith in him. So there is a dynamic, there is something that is taking place in the church. It's taking place in the church and has to do with understanding that the Gentiles have been graced to be part of the Jewish community. Okay, because that's where salvation came. It came through these 12 tribes that were brought out of Egypt and brought into the land, and from through them the Messiah comes. And then we just know the history of that. But in any case, so now what is happening is because the word of God went forth from the Jews to the Gentiles, there's something very powerful about that. There's something in the Spirit that declares to the powers and principalities that what Jesus' purpose is. And we can see today, right in front of our eyes, on almost every channel that you turn to, is we see the manifestation of that battle in front of our eyes. With the Jewish community, and we are literally seeing the effects it's having all over the world. But it's not just the Jewish community. It's the Jewish community that has been extended to the Gentiles. So I don't completely understand the dynamics of the warfare that takes place, but there's something that's happening in the church that's making a proclamation to the powers and the principalities that are above us. Okay. Got that? Okay. So then the following Sunday, October 1st, Ricky E. Badia shared a message from Matthew 15, 21 to 28. And it was the story of the Canaanite woman who came to Jesus. And she said, "Help!" Maybe I should just read it. Let's do that. It's better if we read the word, right? Let's turn to Matthew 15. I'm getting there. All right, Matthew 15, starting in verse 21. Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, "Send her away, because she keeps shouting at us." But he answered and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Oh, woman, your faith is great. It shall be done to you as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once. Now, in Ricky's message, he made two points. One was the importance of our faith. This woman was persistent in her faith. She knew who Jesus was, and she persisted. And the second one was learn not to take an offense. I mean, how many people would be offended if they basically said, "You're just a dog. You don't deserve this"? But, you know, I think Jesus was testing her faith. He wanted to really see where she was coming from. But here it is, what's interesting, what the Lord had just spoken at the prophetic conference. He's talking about the Gentiles being coming as part of the Jewish community. And so here was a Gentile that basically Jesus knew, who had faith in him. And he responded to her call. What a powerful thing. I don't know if the disciples even realized that this was part of the mystery being revealed to the people right in front of their eyes. The mystery of Jesus Christ, a Jew, accepting this woman and allowing her daughter to be healed. Ephesians 3:3-6, by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief, by referring to this. When you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles. Right there it's being revealed to the apostles in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members in the body and fellow partakers of the promise of Jesus Christ through the gospel. Hallelujah. That in itself is caused hell to rage. Because after Jesus left and they began to preach the gospel, the enemy raised his head and he began to just persecute the Christians and push them out. But the irony is that, it's not the irony, it was actually prophesied that the Jews would reject Jesus. And so it had to go to the Gentiles. And now it's come full circle. It's come back, and now the focus is on the world bringing the gospel to Israel. So that was October 1st. October 7th. We all know what that was. The following Saturday, October 7th, news of Hamas terrorists invading towns and homes just outside of Gaza while thousands of rockets were being fired into Israel. War is declared upon the Hamas regime, and the IDF begins its attack on the northern area of Gaza, while at the same time watching the movement of Hezbollah's terrorist forces in the northern border along Lebanon. Wow. The following Sunday, which was the next day after that Saturday when this began, Ricky gives another message about the importance of joy in our lives. He read from James, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." Everything, every trial that we are facing, and we're all facing them, is producing endurance in us because we need endurance. We are the ones that are called children of God. And God's going to bring it forth that we will demonstrate that we are children of God, and not just by word, but by actions. Every little thing, count it all as joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That was from Philippians 4:4. And then he reads Hebrews 12:2. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. It was the joy set before him that gave him the strength to endure the cross. The joy of the Lord is our strength. How important that is in each of our lives. And the enemy is even trying to rob that. You know, after that couple of days and the Lord just speaking to us about spiritual warfare, I tell you, I was attacked in my thoughts in a very intense way, where I was just like wanting to just give everything up. And it was real. But the Lord showed me exactly what it was. We are in spiritual warfare. We are at war. We don't have to be in Israel. We are in a war. And God is going to begin to allow things to happen in greater measures because he wants to create endurance in each of us, so that we will be his voice, we will be his mouthpiece, we will be his hands and his feet here on the earth, demonstrating the kingdom of God is at hand. And like I said, not just by words, but in deed as well. James talks about that, about our faith. I'll show you my faith by my works. And not that we're saved by the works. We're saved by grace through faith. But then we begin to express it. The Lord reminded me of something so important. He said, "Paul, you are not your own. you belong to me. I paid a price for you. So I realized I had to take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. It was a real thing. I had to take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. And sometimes, moment by moment, I am a child of God. I am doing your will, Lord, and not my will. And the enemy wants to influence us to do our will and not his will. There's the battle. And we can come up with a whole list of reasons why we should do our own thing. So I had to confess that. Lord, I'm not my own. I belong to you. I belong to you, Lord. I am your child. I will continue to do what you called me to do. No matter what I feel, no matter what the enemy's thrown at me, I need to do what he's called me to do. Because he's my Lord and he's my King. That was Sunday, October 8th. Sunday, October 15th, Peter Scott shares a very profound scripture in Joshua. So let's turn to Joshua chapter 5. Just to give you a little background, Moses is now dead and they crossed the Jordan River. God separated the Jordan River and they crossed over. And now they're on the other side of the river and they're facing Jericho. Okay, so this is like the first entry of the of Israel and back into the land. Okay, this is Joshua chapter 5, starting in verse 13. Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" That's kind of a strange thing. I think it's strange. It's like going up to a stranger. Are you my enemy or what? I'm your enemy, and he kills me, right? But anyway. He said, "No, rather I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth. I believe that was Jesus. Joshua fell on his face and bowed down and said to him, "What has my Lord to say to his servant?" The captain of the Lord's host said to him, "Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." Wow. Wow. It's like, do you want to know who you're talking to? But it's at this point where the captain of the host, of the Lord's host, gives him instructions for Jericho and what to do. And it sounds silly. March around 7 days, each day blowing your little trumpets, seven trumpets. Go back to bed, get up the next day. Then on the seventh day, I want you to do it seven times. And then at the last blast of the seventh trumpet, I want you all to scream or yell or whatever it was. What a battle plan, huh? But that was real. That was God himself giving the battle plan to take over this fortified city. And they did it and the walls fell down. And they captured it. What's that? It fell down flat. So, but here again was the mystery that had been hidden. Or was being hidden at that time. But there was a woman there that was promised safety. Her name was Rahab. The spies had gone in. Into Jericho, and she hid them so that they could escape alive. These were Jewish spies that were sent in, and they were promised that they would be saved. And that's exactly what happens. Her family, her father, her mother, and her family were saved from the Lord. And that woman is brought into the community. Let's read that. Peter didn't share that, but I just happened to see this. I said, wow, that's exactly what the Lord is showing us here. Joshua 6:25. However, Rahab the harlot and her father's household and all she had, Joshua spared. And she lived in the midst of Israel to this day, for she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And this is the more profound thing. Rahab is the mother of Boaz, who redeems Ruth. Ruth's son Obed is the father of Jesse, David's dad. Rahab is the great great grandmother of King David. Wow. Out of an entire city, one person and their family is saved, and they become part of the lineage of the Messiah. The wisdom of God. This is how we're doing this. I don't know if right now, Benjamin Netanyahu has prophetic people speaking to him or praying that this is the direction that we should go in and stuff. But I do know that the prayers of the saints right now are affecting that war. It's affecting that war. It's affecting people there, and they know it. Even some of the IDF soldiers had said, there's something going on in our nation because we are praying together. Now you have to realize that Israel has only about 3% born-again Christians that are there. They are a very secular nation. And yet, the way they go to battle is so godly. It is so godly how they care for their enemies who hate them. How they warn them to leave because we want to take out this building and we don't want you harmed. Over and over and over again. And then Satan raises up his lies and begins to say things that are not true, and the world begins to hold on to them and believe them and begins to curse Israel. Come on. That's the spiritual battle. And neither of those two sides have a clue. Most of Israel does not know it's a spiritual battle, and neither do Hamas or Hezbollah or any of those guys. They don't have a clue what the spiritual battle is. But we do. We know. So here it was, the hidden mystery. It was right there. The hidden mystery is the same as when God sends out Jonah to bring the gospel basically to Nineveh. These were Arabs. These guys were godless. Well, they had their own gods, but... And they repented. So then Peter, at the end of his message, actually goes to the end of Joshua's life. Okay? Joshua is about to die, and he's given instructions to the people that remain. He's giving them the battle plan to continue on because Joshua was successful. So let's turn now to Joshua 23. Starting in verse 1. Now it came about after many days, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies on every side, and Joshua was old, advanced in years, and Joshua called for all Israel, for the elders and their heads and their judges and their officers, and said to them, I am old and advanced in years. And you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has been fighting for you. Amen. See, I have apportioned to you these nations which remain as an inheritance for your tribes. In other words, all of the nations have not yet been tackled so that all the tribes could settle in Israel. There were still some left. I have apportioned to you these nations which remain as an inheritance for your tribes, with all the nations which I have cut off from the Jordan even to the great sea toward the setting of the sun. The Lord your God, he will thrust them out before you and drive them out before you, and you will possess their land just as the Lord your God promised you. And so here's the battle plan that Peter spelled out for us. Number one, be very firm or be very courageous. Then to keep all that is written in the book of the law of Moses so that you may not turn aside from the right or to the left. So that you will, number two, not associate with these nations. These which remain among you, or mention the name of their gods, or make any swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you, number three, is to cling to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out great and strong nations from before you. And as for you, no man has stood before you to this day. And he said, number four was, he said, one man puts 1,000 to flight. For the Lord your God is he who fights for you, just as he promised. And number five, be diligent to heed yourselves to love the Lord your God. That's the battle plan. The captain of the hosts of the Lord's army. The battle plan is to look to Jesus. The battle plan is to hear his voice and move accordingly. Now, if you go to Romans chapter 13, which I'm not going to go there, I'm not going to read it, but that's basically given instructions for us as Christians to know that God places governments and peoples in places so that if there are evil people, they respond to that. And it actually says that it's God's servants who are doing that. So when we're in a country and we have people attacking us, well, we have a basic right, or that's what they've been saying about Israel, they have a right to defend themselves. Well, we do have a right to defend ourselves. And that's not getting political. That's just being practical. Because here we are trying to live as loving, peaceable people, and we have others coming in who are trying to destroy that. But that's not the battle. The real battle is in the spirit. We're wrestling not with flesh and blood. They're just the pawns of the enemy. Okay, I want you to turn now to Psalm 2. Psalm 2, starting in verse 1. Why are the nations in an uproar, and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs, and the Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury, saying, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. Now, therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that he not become angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. So here it is, the Lord is once again just drawing our attention back to himself. Here the nations are in uproar and they're actually coming against his people. They're coming against his purpose. And yet in these verses, he's showing mercy. He's showing grace to the nations. He's giving them opportunity to change. My concern is when people say, I am for Israel, what do they mean by that? Are you taking sides? I think it's a question we need to ask ourselves. Do we now love Israel and hate Hezbollah? Or Hamas? Or Arabs? Or Palestinians? Or are we saying we stand behind Israel because they have a right to defend themselves? There's a difference. And the enemy's tactic is to take this situation and get our emotions into it so that we will begin to grab hold of the emotion and begin to sin in the process. Jesus said, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute them. I mentioned this the other day. I was just thinking about these millions of Palestinians. They're Arabs. They're Arabs in a land that they hate. They hate the land that they're in. They hate the people that they're in. And yet these are the ones that are blessing them, that are taking care of their medical needs, that are taking care of their electricity and water, and they hate them. And out of the entire Arab League of Nations, not one of them said, come and we will take care of you. You know, that makes me angry. But it says, be angry and sin not. It's okay to be angry. But are we wanting to pack a gun and go in there and just shoot people down? Or are we here to represent the kingdom of God? I see in many ways, even though Israel does not believe, they're representing the kingdom of God in the way they're treating the Palestinians. And yet all of their Arab friends don't want anything to do with them. All the nations in Northern Africa, all the Middle Eastern nations, not one of them said, why don't you come here and we will take care of you. What happened with the Syrians? The same thing. It was propagated by the same demonic force, Iran. Hundreds of thousands of people displaced. Did they go to Arab nations? I don't think so. They went into Europe and the United States and all these other places. And I'm not trying to get political. I'm just saying, well, let's look at the reality of this. And I'm just thinking, what mindset, even though the Palestinians have been deceived, they've been trained in deception. From a child, they put guns in their hands and they're saying, we hate the Jews, they need to die. That's their life. It is sick, it is demonic. And God has raised its head because he wants to point it out to the world. And when now we're seeing that half the world is saying, yes, it's demonic, and the other half is saying, no, we agree with them. A 100,000 protesters in England yesterday. Not protesters, of the Palestinians, but of Israel. 100,000 people gathered in the streets. We are at war, but not with flesh and blood. Lord, give me compassion. Give me a love for those who hate me. It's not easy. It's not easy. But it's coming closer and closer. And God is doing this because he's testing our faith and he wants us to have endurance. This is the same devil that affected the world before the flood. It said the intent of every man's heart was evil. Every man's heart. And God had to do something about it. This is the same devil who told the midwives in Egypt to kill all the Jewish boys that were born, throw them and drown them in the Nile. This is the same devil that when Jesus was born and Herod heard that it was born in Bethlehem, had the children slaughtered. It's the same devil that manipulated the Jewish community to say to Rome, crucify him. Crucify him. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. We're in a war, and it's getting more intense. I'm feeling it in my spirit. It's just like it's getting really intense. And I'm not afraid to die. I'm not. And I don't want to become militant. I want to go to the captain of the host of the Lord's army and say, Lord, what is your battle plan? And he's been showing us. He said, come and worship me and call out to me. It is those who are being led by the Holy Spirit. These are the sons and the daughters of God. And if we're being led by the Spirit, then it's obvious that we have a faith and that we're responding in action to that faith. I'm going to end in Psalm Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, starting in verse 15. Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are regarded as a speck of dust on the scales. Behold, he lifts up the islands like fine dust. Even Lebanon is not enough to burn, nor its beasts enough for burnt offerings. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are regarded by him as less than nothing and meaningless. To whom then will you liken God? or what likeness will you compare with him? As for the idol, a craftsman casts it, a goldsmith plates it with gold, and a silversmith fashions charms of silver. He who is too impoverished for such an offering selects a tree that does not rot. He seeks out for himself a skillful craftsman to prepare an idol that will not totter. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth. And his inhabitants are like grasshoppers who stretch out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. It is he who reduces rulers to nothing, who makes the judges of the earth meaningless. Scarcely have they been planted, scarcely have they been sown, scarcely has their stock taken root in the earth. But he merely blows on them and they wither. And the storm carries them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me, that I would be his equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created the stars. The one who leads forth this host by number and calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? Do you not know, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired? His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary. To him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength, will mount up with wings like eagle. They will run and not get tired, and they will walk and not become weary. Hallelujah. Father, I'm asking now in the name of your Son, Jesus, that you bring strength to your body this day. Each and every member that is here, each and every member that is in this community, Lord, those that love you and are serving you, Lord God, give them strength. Bring healing to their physical bodies. Lord, I just bind the voices of the enemy that is trying to distract them, that is trying to disturb them, and to put them down in Jesus' name. I command those voices now to be silent in the name of Jesus. Lord, let them hear your voice. Let them be reminded of your word. Your Holy Spirit resides in us, O God. Speak loudly and clearly to us, O God. Lord, we are not our own. You bought each of us with a price that we could not pay. We belong to you, Lord. So I ask for strength. I ask for increased faith. I ask for discernment, Lord, in each of our communities and the places that we go, Lord. That we take heed of the word that you've been speaking to us, Lord. That you came to save the world. For God so loved the world . Come, Holy Spirit, continue to strengthen, continue to heal. Thank you for the Lord. I thank you for the trials. It's producing endurance in each of us, Lord. Thank you for the things, Lord, that you've brought each and every one of us through, and the ones that you're bringing us through right now, Lord. I speak faith and hope to your body now in Jesus' name. Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And Lord, if we perish, doesn't matter. We're still going to worship you. That's what they said to Nebuchadnezzar. We're not going to worship you. And if we perish, praise the Lord. Lord, sober your church, I ask in Jesus' name. Bring sobriety to your people. Let us walk in discernment and understanding. We need it, Lord. We need it. I ask that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.